Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Throw a step blocked by Jaylen Brown.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics
Show. Over
the
shoulder pass for Al Horford for the two-hand slam.
With Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Curry gets the free throws. A 16-3 close to game number four. And the Golden State Warriors, championship pedigree, championship medal on display. Not ready to pass any torches yet. The torch will have to be taken, and the Celtics will have to do it in the one place they've been better than anybody else in the NBA in decades, on the road. The NBA Finals that everybody hoped would go down to the finish are now a best of three. Golden State wins game four, 107-97. The NBA Finals are even at two games apiece.
Final call from Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell of last night's game four of the NBA Finals. And your final score, Golden State Warriors 107, Celtics 97. This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you at 617-779-0985. And that final call brought to you by Miller Lite. Enjoy the Celtics game with the original light beer, Miller Lite. It's game time. It's Miller time. I like what Sean said there, that the Celtics are going to have to take the torch from the Golden State Warriors, because for whatever the hell reason, Chris, they do seem somewhat reluctant to. And this is something you've talked about. It's they're expecting the opponent, and we've seen this now in three straight series, to capitulate.
Yeah.
You know, we're the Celtics. We've arrived. It's our time. Come on. Go away. Like, we're hitting our shots. You stop. Like, it's our time. It's we're going to play not to lose some of these games, because you're just going to you're going to fold. You're going to go away, right? Not so much. Milwaukee didn't do it. Miami didn't do it. And Golden State certainly didn't do it last night, specifically Steph Curry. A great performance from him, yes. But it's just, I just feel like, again, the Celtics only really have themselves to blame. They blew that game last night. I think last night's loss to me, more about the Celtics than it was about Steph Curry and that performance from him last night. That's just how I feel, and I know you disagree.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I look, they had certainly chances to close it out. I'm not going to dispute that with you, but I think when a guy has 43 and 10 and hits seven threes, and some of the shots he was hitting, and frankly, some of the threes he hit should have been four-point plays. I mean, he was fouled on at least like three of those, and you, the call didn't go Golden State's way. So when I look at it, that was just a transcendent performance by a great, great player. That being said, could the Celtics have still won the game? Yes, they could have. But for me, the takeaway from last night was not Celtics choked it away. It was what Grandy said. You know, Golden State still has championship DNA, championship pedigree, championship medal, and they have the best player in the series. And that's one thing I do want to talk about here, because I think there was some sort of debate early in the series. And I was on BST with Holly, and he was saying he thought Jason Tatum was the best player in the series. And the rationale was, well, you know, Steph Curry's not great on defense, and he's not. And that's why the Celtics keep putting him in the action. But to me, last night, that debate's over. The Celtics might win the series. There's no question. The best player in this series is Steph Curry, and it's not really close.
Yeah, I've come around on that too. Maybe I got caught up in, I don't know, because I thought he's been good-ish, you know, at times in this series. But last night, he blew up and shows you he's still, you know, the greatest shooter who's ever lived. Transcended performance, yes. But, yeah, no, I think I also am like, well, he's getting a little long in the tooth. He's 34. No, he is. He is certainly everything that Tatum is not in terms of when you need it the most. The Celtics need it. I've been harsh on Tatum today because he's supposed to be your superstar, right? But the fact is, in that fourth quarter late, the Celtics needed anyone, someone, to step up in that stretch. Brown, Smart, who's bombs away again, Horford, anyone. And they all threw up on themselves. And that's what's so frustrating, because we've seen this now multiple times during this postseason run.
You're right. And here's what I'd say about it. You're absolutely right. It's a double-edged sword, because I think their greatest strength is that the Celtics are not overly reliant on any one player. But sometimes it's also their greatest weakness, because that means you can't rely on any one player in some of these situations. You look at game one, again, Tatum wasn't great. The Celtics still had that amazing fourth quarter and won the game. When I look at Golden State, if Steph Curry doesn't play the way he's played through these first four games, and he's made at least five threes in every game, he's averaging 34 a game, they have no shot. Whereas the Celtics can win if their best player doesn't play well. But again, the double-edged sword aspect of that is that sometimes when you get into these fourth quarters, because you are a team that sort of does it collectively, that you don't know where to go. in clutch moments. And if your best player in Tatum doesn't have it, you're not sure sort of where to go. And also the other downside of that is that, okay, maybe my best player doesn't have it. Let's go to number two, which is Jaylen Brown. On a lot of other teams, they'd be force-feeding Jaylen Brown the ball. On this team, it's Marcus Smart bombs away. And that, I think, again, can be an issue at times. Again, it's their greatest strength. It can also be their greatest weakness at times, and you saw that last night.
We, of course, have Brian Robb covering the Celtics for Mass Live. Another late night for old B-Robb behind the glass. Give me some of your takeaways and thoughts on last night's game. Am I wrong to put so much on the Celtics in this one, or am I right to feel like, oh, no, they had an opportunity here, and they blew it?
I mean, there's no question this is going to be the game in the series. You look back on if they lose in terms of, like, they had it here. But one thing we haven't talked about yet, guys, which I think was a sneaky big factor in this game, fourth quarter, Steve Kerr having the guts to put Draymond Green on the bench for a big chunk of that and go offense, defensive with him down the stretch. That is huge because Draymond Green has been absolute garbage on offense in this series and has really helped the Celtics be able to defend all the rest of the Warriors' weapons with him out there. Now with him going to Looney over Green, the guy who's been a better player in this series, it was bad in game four, obviously, since they won them the game, but now moving forward in this series, the willingness to do that is not good news for the Celtics in terms of trying to pull this thing out.
Yeah, and Draymond said what he was livid, right? That he was benched in that fourth quarter, but ultimately was the right call by Steve Kerr. I thought Looney was a factor last night. I gave you some of these numbers earlier, but again, Looney had played 6 minutes total in the fourth quarter in the first three games of this series. Played for just about eight, seven and change in that fourth quarter last night. He's a plus 36. Is Looney in the series? He was plus 21 last night, and he's clearly their best rebounder. And people were saying, like, what are the Warriors going to do about size? Turns out Looney's the answer. So,
well,
go ahead.
No, I was gonna say the thing to B-Rob's point. The thing with Looney, with Looney when he's in there, is if Rob Williams is going to step up and challenge shots or step out and try and stop threes, well, okay, now Looney's underneath and he can get the offensive rebound. Yeah, whereas Draymond Green is a million miles from the hoop. He's a non-shooter, and all he's trying to do is screen and try and hit cutters or hand off to shooters. So that makes it easier for Robert Williams. He doesn't have to worry about Draymond Green. And I, you know, watching some of the broadcasts last night, which I was able to do, Jeff Van Gundy was screaming at Draymond Green. He's like, when Robert Williams goes to challenge those shots, you have to crash down. You have to crash to the basket. You can't just stand out there. And that's what Looney does. He will crash to the basket while Draymond Green stands 25 feet from the hoop to take a three he's either never going to take, or that if he does, he has about as much a chance of hitting as I would if I were in the game.
All right, Michelle in South Carolina, you're first up this afternoon, Sports Hub Celtics show. What do you make of last night, Michelle?
I didn't like it. I'm still not satisfied. I feel like the Warriors are actually taking our playbook out of our hands. Sitting Draymond, putting in who or whoever for offense and somebody who's going to play the game rather than stand around and just kind of set picks and not have any offense. I do want to comment on Tatum. I think something is really wrong with his shoulder. If you notice when he goes to the basket, a lot of times when he does have a layup on the side of his bad shoulder, he's trying to do a reverse rather than straight up layup.
Interesting.
I don't know if you can rewind a couple of plays during some games and notice that. And the other thing is I'm still not convinced we can play a pick and roll defense because when we're trying to play up on somebody, we still have the bad habit of stepping back and giving their shooters way too much open looks. I mean, they're hitting everything because if you see Horford, he's guilty of it a lot. He'll try to take a step forward, but and then he takes two steps backwards.
He does.
Because he's afraid if the person doesn't shoot, they're going to run right by him.
All right, Michelle, I'm going to let you go on that. Has spacing been part of the problem here defensively?
I mean, she's dead on about that. I mean, Steph Curry hit a three there where it was like that's exactly what happened to Horford. It was pick and roll defense, and Steph Curry gave him a hard jab step and step back, and the space was there. I think the Celtics have to sort of decide on some of that stuff. What do they want to take away? You know, if it were me, I would say let's take away the three, be over aggressive on the three. If Steph Curry drives by you, our length, our size, our help defense is enough to sort of try and swallow him up, or we'll live with him making a floater like he did in the fourth quarter as opposed to the threes. I do feel like the Celtics are getting a little greedy defensively. They're a great defensive team. They're trying to take away everything, and in the process of trying to take away everything, I don't think they're taking away the main thing they should take away, which is the three-pointers from Steph Curry.
Yeah, you can't let him get into rhythm, guys. Like, all these games, he's come out pretty strong.
Yeah.
And so I think you have to – I mean, I'll ask this to both of you or to Jim here. Like, would you start doubling him just to, like, mix it up?
Yeah.
Which I feel like they really haven't tried that all this series. I think he's played it well enough in these first four games. You have to consider that, right?
I would double – but he's a tough guy to double because he moves well without the ball.
True.
Right? So it's like they've doubled him a little. They'll double him to get him off the ball. But then he'll pass it to Draymond or somebody else, and then it becomes like basically a screen handoff back to him, and he beats his defender back to Draymond, back to the ball, and gets a shot off. He's not as easy a guy to double as like a Tatum, who's just going to sort of take the ball 25 feet from the hoop and pound it into the ground. There's a lot more movement off the ball with Steph Curry, and that makes him difficult to double. It makes it difficult to sustain a double on him. You can double him initially and get the ball out of his hands, but then he'll still get it back. They'll screen for him and he'll still get the shot.
Maybe selectively then, just to surprise him. Just to do something to keep him out of rhythm
to throw him off.
Yeah. They did force five turnovers from Steph Curry. I mean, they forced him to throw the ball away.
I thought he was going to find himself in foul trouble too, because he got one early. It's like, oh yes, we're going to get this again, and he didn't. And as far as Jason Tatum's right shoulder, Dr. Murray's diagnosis is not that big a deal, and here's why too. Well, I have proof to back this up, and then talk to the girl up front and pay her the check, $250. The pass he made to Peyton Pritchard in the prior game, in Game 3, where there was this no-look pass where he finds Pritchard open and he ends up hitting the three, was like 100 miles an hour. And how did he pass it? With his right arm. That arm connected to the shoulder. Diagnosis, no big deal. Again, talk to the girl up front, $250.
But when he throws that pass, maybe it's an issue with like elevating the arm, like getting it high. I don't know, B-Rob, have you seen anything? Is he not finishing the same way he's finished all year with the arm and the extension? Because he does have great length, which is one of his real strengths.
I do think that he is, and I don't know how much it's related to the shoulder, Chris, but he seems to be trying to finish further away from the basket. Okay. And I don't know whether that's him in terms of trying to compensate or what the Warriors are doing defensively against him, but he's certainly not getting to his sweet spots around the rim at all, and it's leading to just a lot of inefficient finishing at the rim.
And if you want further diagnosis, Jason Tatum, from Dr. Murray, you're not a consistent shooter, and you might not be clutch. 617-779-0985.
Tough doctor.
What? Oh, the worst. But, you know.
Sounds like you're saying he has a problem with his ticker.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's a heart problem.
Yeah.
Yep. Congestive heart failure? No, it's just two sizes too small. There you go. Again, talk to the girl up front. One open line, 617-779-0985. Sports Hub Celtics Show. I'm sure the team is thrilled for us to be doing this today.
Yeah, but, they definitely are.
What can I say?
I feel the thrill that we're both doing this today.
Little hungover, running hot, pissed about last night. I'm not going to apologize for it. Your thoughts on last night's loss next.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on the home of the Seas, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's time to talk Celtics.
Man, hotter than fish grease now.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Like Derek said, we got ball watching the guy with the ball instead of just moving like we've been doing. You know, the ball handler, it's kind of hard because you're trying to tell everybody to do something while, you know, making sure you still see the play with the guy in front of you and you know, you've been taught to make a play. So for us is, you know, we just got to move. Plain and simple. You know, if the ball gets stuck and you see it, just go screen somebody. But we have to move. We cannot let the ball get stagnant and let them load up on us.
Or maybe not, you know, be all bums away. Say, it's my time to shine. I'm going to shoot the opposition right back into this game.
Let me hit this three and then look at my hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going for the look at my hand three. Boy, I wonder if do you think there's like a Marcus Smart, like, excuse generator? just like works in his head.
Probably.
You know, like as the ball handler, it's hard. Or remember the game against Milwaukee when Jrue Holiday basically Marcus Smarted Marcus Smart, and he was like, well, we called this play, but no one was moving, so I had to do something.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he does fancy himself. It just reminded me. I yelled at one point. So it was one of the many threes that Steph Curry hit in that fourth quarter where Marcus Smart took it right back down, you know, 3 seconds off the shot clock. He hoist one up, clang, and I screamed in the company box, "You're not him!" But boy, he thinks he is at times.
Well, the funny thing about Smart is, you know, he did a really good job of backing Curry down and getting in the lane. Like, when Marcus Smart gets in the lane and shoots over smaller guys and just does the too small to other point guards, he's great at that. You know, and I wish he had maybe kept doing that, believe it or not, instead of bombs away on the threes. And then I want to ask B-Rob a question. I mentioned this to you in the break, Jim, and I'm going to ask B-Rob this. What's happened to Grant Williams in this series? I just feel like he's been a non-factor, and he certainly was a big factor in them getting to the finals, only averaging 4.8 points per game, 17.5 minutes per game so far. Why has he not been effective in this series?
It's been rough. It's a really good question, Chris. I think he's had one good game. I think game three was the only one where he kind of stood out there. I think part of it's the double big situation against the Warriors. It's kind of tough to have that group out there. But I think a lot of it, too, is like, he's fouling a lot, and that's something where you lose Ime's trust if you do that. You can't do that against this Warriors team when they have shooters everywhere and guys shooting 90% from the line. But they need more from him in this series, too, because he's the kind of versatile big that should be able to help them against a team like this.
I totally agree.
Yeah, other than game two with the defense that he played in that one, Draymond Green, I think, has kind of been a non-factor in this series. But I can't help but thinking that part of the wilting by Grant Williams in this series is that Draymond Green is, like, in his head. Is that part of it, potentially?
Sure. I mean, they've been going at each other since Jump Street.
Oh, Grant Williams wants to fight him.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's clear.
There's no question about that. So that is something – that's a really good point, Jim. Like, you forget about that early in the series, but that's been there, and it's clearly made some kind of impact from the start there. I have one other question for you guys, though.
Yes.
In the fourth quarter, when Rob started to get hurt there, you know, it looked like he was, like, moving, yeah, laboring for a while, were you guys surprised that Ime did not get him out of the game sooner? Given that that was the middle of the Warriors run, were you like, let Rob run it off here? Like, we need to. He obviously was playing really well.
For me, truth be told, I didn't think it at the time, but it was clear he was moving like a log again. But I just think maybe you try to ride and ride him and see if, you know, he can dig deep and still get some ups. Or I didn't question that at the time. No.
No, I didn't question it either, just because I think he's such a deterrent for the Warriors on some of the dribble drive stuff. Like, there's so many times Klay Thompson or Jordan Poole would get baseline and get into the paint, and most of the time they're not even looking at the rim. They're like, I'm just going to dribble baseline to the other side of the hoop because Robert Williams is there. I think Ime felt like there was value in having him in there sort of as a deterrent, even though he wasn't moving the same way and couldn't get out the same way he had in maybe in game three and challenge some of those perimeter shots.
Again, Celtics can't close out the Warriors last night in game four. They lose 107-97, game five, Monday night. Marcus in the truck, you're next here in the Sports Hub Celtics show. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, Big Jim. What's up? Gasper, the friendly host. How's it going, fellas?
Good. What's going on?
Dude, these Celtics are super bipolar. As someone who's bipolar, they need a mood stabilizer, and I don't know what that is for them. And ultimately, I feel like they'll get more three-point looks that they want and quality ones if they drive and kick. Drive and kick. If they establish a presence with driving, they will have so many more opportunities for threes, and that's really what I think was the successful part of the series for them. And they move away from it. They move back to, like, old bad habits.
Yeah, you saw that. I'm gonna let you go on that, Marcus.
Yeah, it's a good point.
So look, they won that fourth quarter in game three with good defense and aggressively. Say it's stupid. It's right, stupid. I can't even sentence structure.
Play it right, Jim.
You're supposed to be a professional broadcaster. God's sakes. They win with good defense and attacking the rim in the fourth quarter of game three. They went away from that last night. So, like, I would think, you know, oh, we figured out the game plan here. And is some of that because that Kevon Looney was so effective last night that they went away from that? Or was just, why did they go away from that?
You know, I think some part of it is you get down in the shot clock and you feel like you don't have as much time. It's easier to settle for the three. They were hitting threes earlier in the game. Like I said, they hit 10 of their first 19. I think Golden State, just going back watching some of these clips, they did a pretty good job of playing help defense and almost like hedging. Like a guy like Jordan Poole, who to me is a terrible defender, there were a couple of plays there where like Tatum beat his initial guy and then Jordan Poole flashed and hedged and then somehow managed to make it back to his guy. And I'm like, who's this? This doesn't look like Jordan Poole playing defense. So the Warriors, I think, did a pretty good job helping. And I think the Celtics just weren't, you know, patient enough with dribble, drive, kick to break down the defense at times. And then you get to the end of the shot clock and it felt to me, I will say this in terms of ripping the Celtics. I thought in the fourth quarter, some of those possessions, they got to the end of the shot clock and it felt frantic and panicky, which is never good.
Yeah. Michael in Brookline on the Celtics lost last night. Hey, Michael.
All right. Before I get to my Chris Gasper road trip food update, Big Jim, I think we need a mental health check. I've never met anybody who was so right and yet so upset about being right in my life.
No, it's
you predicted what was going to happen, and you're still upset.
Michael, I live with this. It's my curse.
I understand. Okay, so the road trip food update. Chris, when you go to New York, have a Red Sox Yankee, go to Cork Deli. It's right there on 162nd Street.
Okay, I like a good
best
deli.
Best corned beef you'll ever have in your life.
Oh, I like
the Seattle one is my actual favorite restaurant I've ever been to. It's called the Metropolitan Grill. And get the Chateaubriand for two with garlic mashed potatoes. And number three, Fort Lauderdale, go to Anthony's Runway 84.
Oh, hold on, I'm going there this summer. Let me get this Fort Lauderdale one.
I know. Murray's writing this down.
Anthony's, what's this one?
Anthony's Runway 84, get the veal chop. Do you know Anthony's Coal Fire Pizza?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Whatever he knows, he learns from his father, who is Anthony of Anthony's Runway 84.
Oh.
Bing, bang, boom. Done. All right.
I like it.
Okay, so there's three for you.
Now let's crap on the Celtics, Michael. Go ahead.
All right. It's just a matter of, like Doc Rivers said, it's a make-miss league.
It really is.
If you make them, you're going to win. If you miss them, you're going to lose. There are certain things you can do to affect makes and misses. You know, playing great defense, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, if Steph Curry's going to throw basketballs out of his butt into the hoop, you're not going to win. And if Jason Tatum can hit and Jaylen Brown can hit and Al can throw one in every once in a while, you're going to win. It is what it is. It's the NBA. And we're getting all upset about nothing that really matters. It's a make-miss league.
Oh, Michael, but that's sports.
That's a little too far, I think, though.
Getting upset about nothing that really matters is sports.
No, I mean, it is make-miss, and it's make-miss, and to me, the context of that is you can make mistakes, and they can be erased by makes, and you can execute well, and it can be erased by a miss. But overall, the Celtics' execution in the fourth quarter was not good, and that's the problem. And it is make-miss, but there's also the law of averages there as well in terms of what your execution is. So, again, I guess what I would say is the Celtics' execution certainly was better in the other three quarters, but I'm not sure it was as markedly better as we think it was because they were making these threes. And so you get to the fourth quarter and you start missing the threes and you get a little tight and suddenly it looks like the execution is horrendous. And that's sort of what happens there when maybe the fall off wasn't as precipitous as we thought. There was definitely a fall off, don't get me wrong, but maybe it wasn't as precipitous. Maybe they weren't as great as we thought in the first three quarters. It's just that you're knocking down threes.
Well, it's now clear Steph Curry had his moment, moment so far in this series. And I, you know, look, I'm a simple man with a simple question. That's like, where's Jason Tatum's moment? Your first team All NBA. You've arrived. All your peers now say he is one of us, one of us, one of us, superstar in the NBA. Where's your superstar moment in this series? That's all. That's all. That's the only thing I want to know.
Two or three more games to do it.
Yeah, I don't feel great about that as I'm dropping stuff all over the place.
Yeah, you're knocking this water bottle over. You're fired up today.
That pissed me off last night. It pissed me off and concerned me because I felt I picked the Celtics in seven. Yes, it's still trending that way. They can win in seven. But that game last night and how they let it go just shakes my confidence. And again, the lack of raising his game in this series by Jason Tatum, that's got me concerned.
So can I ask you a question before we take our little break here? Do you think the Celtics can win this series if Jason Tatum doesn't have like a Steph Curry-like moment?
I'm starting to doubt that.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I still think they can. Like, you know, Steph Curry, like that was a transcendent performance. If Tatum has what is for him a run-of-the-mill 30-31 point game here, I think they can win the series. I think that's the difference between the two teams. One team needs their all-time great transcendent player to play like that to have a chance. The other team, their strength is if their all-NBA player just has, you know, average performances for him, they can still win the series.
Yeah, but typically in these spots, like Giannis and the Bucks had their breakthrough last year, and that closeout game by Giannis, it's like, holy crap, he can do it. Because I know even Felger and, you know, national media was like, well, can he do this? He did. I just think in that league, typically in these series, in the NBA Finals, your guy, the guy, has to have a night like Curry did last night. So, yeah, maybe, again, simple take from a simple man. Where's Tatum's moment so far in this series? 617-779-0985. One open line. You want to join us here in the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Your calls next.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. .com.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show drives the lane.
Goal! Scoring and the foul!
The Sports Hub Celtics Show and Boston's home for the Celtics. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I mean, you gotta give them credit. They're a great team. They're playing well. You know, they got a game plan, things like that. But it's on me. I gotta be better. I know I'm impacting the game in other ways, but, you know, I gotta be more efficient, shoot the ball better, finish at the rim better. You know, so I take accountability for that. I just look forward to, you know, Monday. Lead us from behind us, learn from it, you know, watch the film, things like that. But, you know, everybody probably feels like they got to be better, myself included. You know, just go get it on Monday.
That's right. Listen to Tom Caron. Hashtag be better, Jason Tatum. I hope he believes what he's saying. Like, you know, I look forward to game five. Just where's your game? Where's your moment? I don't think that's too much to ask. Your first team all NBA, you got what you wanted. You went on to JJ Redick's podcast
a
few years back now. Like, you know the money you're losing out on, but we know that that was important to you. You've made it. You've arrived. You know, you're one of the guys now. Like these transcendent players, where's your transcendent moment in the NBA Finals? Here's another bad stat surrounding him just in this postseason run. And this is like the turnovers have been an issue for this team, obviously, sure, during this run. Prior to this season, Jason Tatum had committed five or more turnovers in five of 50 playoff games. So that's good. 22 playoff games this year. He's committed at least five turnovers in nine games. So what is that?
Well, I think it's, the ball's in his hand more under Ime Udoka than it was under Stevens, that he's asked to initiate and facilitate more. So when the ball's in, I mean, again, Steph Curry was amazing last night. He had five turnovers, and a couple of them were really bad. So part of that, I'm not giving him a pass on the turnovers because we know turnovers kill the Celtics, but I think that's part of the maturation process of being the guy and having the offense go through you a large chunk of the time. I want to ask you, do you give him any credit for sort of, you know, facing this head on and answering the questions and basically saying, like, I got to be better? He's not dodging it. He's not saying, like, as the ball handler, it's really tough sometimes when guys aren't moving, you know? Like,
I will give him that. So this whole run, it's the most mature. It's the best I've ever heard him in any post-game press conferences. Yeah, no, I think he's been honest, mature. I don't think that anything that he said it has been contrived. So, yeah, no, I think he is owning it. I just want to see him perform on the floor, though, sure. That's all. But, yeah, no, I'll give him credit there. But those turnovers, phew. All right, to you we go. 617-779-0985. Johnny in Brooklyn on Game 4 last night. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. You both talked about this already, the lack of execution. And, you know, the thought that it's a make-or-miss league, like I would just say, I kind of agree with Gasper, you know, yeah, you got to make shots, but you have to put your team in the best position to make them. And in Game 3, they made Curry switch onto Tatum multiple times, and he just took it right to the basket on him. And last night in the fourth quarter, it's like they just forgot how to play offense. And I think that that's partially on the coaching staff as well. I mean, you got to see what's going on and make a change and force, you know, the action and put Curry, and they should make him play defense the entire game. And so that's something that I hope that they'll correct. And, you know, you talked about it too, is the lack of bench scoring, which I've been concerned about really since before the playoffs even started, and somehow they've managed to be successful despite it. But it's something that I'm still worried about. And when you look at the Warriors, they have so many scoring options. I know they're two best ones. Curry's the best in the world, but that's what I'm worried about. And, you know, I hope we can manage to win, because I'm, you know, looking forward. I'm a little worried the rest of the league is going to catch up to them. But anyway, you guys are the best. Have a good weekend.
You too, Johnny. So maybe I was it was premature to say that just from a bench standpoint, the Celtics are the better, deeper team. Was I wrong in that assessment?
I still think they are. Going into the series, I didn't feel that way. Excuse me. I didn't feel that way. But after watching the series for three games, I did. I'm still going to stick to that. I think the swing guy here is Jordan Poole. Which Jordan Poole are you getting? He's not the greatest defensive player, but it's not a coincidence in the two games that they've won. He's looked more like the guy who averaged 18 a game during the regular season than a guy who really was not an impact player, a guy who was very loose with the basketball in some of the other games. Also, you need to get Grant Williams involved again. I think not only does it help when he scores, he's just an emotional lift guy for this team, and he gives them an extra burst of energy, and he just was a non-factor in this game. He picked up four fouls. He only played like 12 minutes. You have to use your strength, which is your depth, because I think if it does come down to a game where it's about who has the best player or series that who has the best player, who has the biggest star, I think four games in, we know that's advantage Golden State.
Yeah, they didn't get anything out of their whole bench last night, guys. Derek White, I thought too, just had a really rough night. Payne Pritchard gave nothing.
He sucked the few minutes he was in, even at the line too. Like, hit both free throws. You're a shooter. This is what you do.
Exactly. So that, to Chris's point, like, you need, when Curry is playing at this level, you need guys like that, the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth guys, to give you something in order to kind of even up the scales there.
You know one guy we haven't talked about quickly that I want to give credit to for Golden State? Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, I think he's been really
17
good.
17 rebounds.
I mean, a lot of people basically, when he got dealt from Minnesota, were like, this guy has zero heart. He's basically, you know, sort of a Jeff Green type in that he's always going to be a big tease, you know, tons of talent. He'll never put it together. He's been pretty consistent in the series. And as B-Rob said, for those rebounds, for those, you know, 16 rebounds he got, for a team that's playing undersized, that was so huge for them. And the way he played Tatum defensively in the fourth quarter, I thought was also good. Andrew Wiggins catches a lot of flack. He's never probably going to be what we thought he was going to be as the number one pick, but he plays with a lot more heart than people give him credit for.
So I thought Draymond Green had the standout defensive performance so far for them in this series in game two, but their most consistent defender has been Wiggins. I think he's done very well on Tatum.
And he played more minutes. He played more minutes than anybody in that game. He was on the court for 43 minutes and 25 seconds. Like, again, Wiggins is basically known as a guy who's soft with a capital S. He's starting to shed that label. I mean, if you look at the facts, it's hard to call him soft anymore when he's doing what he's doing.
B-Rub, I saw you pop up.
Oh, there. No, sorry. I was looking here. Yeah, well, if Wiggins, I mean, he's been the primary defender on Tatum this whole series. So if Tatum is struggling like this, a lot of that credit goes to Wiggins. And if he can do enough of the other little things, the, you know, getting his hands dirty, as we talked about, Chris, with the rebounding, that's just a huge edge for this team when they can get this big scoring nights from Curry and Thompson, too.
All right, promise more of your calls coming up. We have one open line. You want to bitch about the Celtics loss last night. I think that they gave it away again. This is what they do. How many times? This is why I said yesterday, please prove me wrong. Can you just one of these times follow up one of these great performances where you stomp your opposition, whether it was Milwaukee, Miami, now Golden State, you have this golden opportunity, pun intended, to actually, you know, win at home. Prove me wrong. Go up 3-1. And they did it to us again. 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on Game 4 last night, coming up next.
1 hour each week at noon on Saturdays. The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics
Deep
Show.
Three. Got it.
With Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, at times we're, you know, obviously focused on him and keeping others in check, but some of those were some crazy shots that were highly contested that he made. And, you know, you look at the overall numbers, the attempts, getting those off is a number we don't like, the 14 attempts in general. He came out bombing early at 9 in the first half, but, you know, some of the threes he hit were highly contested, and you can't do anything about those. But when we did switch, it kind of got some cross matches and guys on the rim and went after him a little bit later, and they made some plays.
Celtics head coach Ime Udoka on the ridiculous performance by Steph Curry last night. 43 points in the Warriors' win in Game 4 over the Celtics. And look, like you saw it in the first quarter of Game 1. Some of those shots, there is nothing you can do about it. He's the greatest shooter of all time. And it does, it puts me in a pickle as someone, you know, who wants the Celtics to win, who was lucky enough to be in the building last night. I want to hate him. I can't. Like, Draymond's easily hateable, right? Like, sports hate. Like, you know, don't go to the bad hate. Like, but sports hate, it's fun to hate, have sports hate for Draymond. I can't hate Steph Curry. And also, like, it is kind of fun to watch. Like, the guy can hit from, as a caller said it earlier, from, like, the moon, Chris. Like, some of those shots last night, he's basically at half court, and they're just so pure. No banks, no rattling, no crossing your fingers. It's just swish every effing time. Oh, it's just it. On the one hand, it's painful. You feel them ripping out your heart, the collective soul, the Celtics, everyone in the building, everyone watching at home, like Mola Ram Shakta Day. It's a 30-year-old reference. Some get it, some don't. Whatever. Indiana Jones. Come on.
We're going to get into this later. I feel like those, you know, there's a movie you love now I feel is overrated, and a movie I love you feel is overrated.
Sure. But it is fun to watch that dude, though.
Oh, man. First of all, the thing about him is how quickly he gets some of the shots off, and it looks like sometimes it looks like he's just flicking the ball at the hoop, and it goes in. My favorite, and he didn't do this last night, but my favorite when you can watch Steph Curry and he's not killing your team, is when he shoots the three and turns back the other way and the ball's like still in the air.
Or even some of the passes, like, no, I already know Clay's going to hit it too, so I'll be back down the other side of the court. Just finish the job. It is. I mean, there's a cockiness there that is
kind
of hysterical.
And I got to tell you what, I love cockiness when it's backed up by the talent.
Yeah.
When it's not, I don't love it as much.
Marcus Smart. 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on last night's game, where the series goes from here. Is your confidence a little bit shaken? Mine is.
I can tell. I have to ask you this question.
Yeah.
Because I know we've been talking Celtics for hours. But, you know, this is a Sports Hub Celtics show, so I think this is the appropriate format for this. If you had to gauge it, who would you say was more asleep in the wheel in the fourth quarter, Jason Tatum or Deuce Tatum?
probably the young lad. Because at that point, that fourth quarter is like 11-ish. That, to me, again, not apparent, but I would guess. A three-year-old should have been in bed 4 hours prior to that. The dad comes close, but I'm going to go with Deuce.
You're going with Deuce. Okay.
A little bobblehead. You see the poor kid coming out after halftime. No, wake up. Oh, of course you're going to be woken up by the 20,000 plus screaming at the top of their lungs. I've seen the angry emails and the angry tweets. I'll continue to take them. I'm not wrong here. Put the kid to bed.
It's hard for me to stay up for these games. So, did you see the one photo from one of the games where, like, you know, they show, like, his dad's in the foreground, like, shooting, and he's, like, on a phone? He's, like, on an iPhone, like, just looking at the phone, like, doing something?
And he'll be in first grade wearing sunglasses and needing coffee. Like, that's just where I feel like it's going to end up going. Like, it's too much overstimulation, I would think, for a child of that age. Am I a doctor? Child educator? I'm not.
Well, actually,
just
you said,
going with my gut and common
sense. But you did say you were a doctor.
That's right. You
diagnosed
Dr.
the dad.
Dr. Murray did diagnose dad's shoulder.
Maybe you're not a pediatrician.
Yeah, let me go back through my the paperwork here on Jason Tatum. My diagnosis on that right shoulder is just fine. Yep. Let's go to Joe in San Francisco on last night's game. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call. You know, after being a Warriors fan since the 80s and watching the decrepit teams that we've had and the last 7 years making us really spoiled, you know, I was a little bit concerned after we went through, especially since we should have won the first game, giving up, you know, 40 in the fourth quarter. I mean, what I've noticed is, you know, between winning in the games, it's coming down to rebounds and points in the paint. Whoever gets the most in both UC's winning the game. And now with Looney back, looks like Kurt's going to keep Looney in now. With Looney back in, it gives Wiggins, you know, more chances to get rebounds and attack the rim a little bit more on defense. You know, I'm going to be pretty happy that's going on. I wear a Draymond jersey, and he has not been playing well at all.
He sucked.
You know, I've been hiding. But however, you know, these two games in Boston, he's been pretty quiet. I expect on Monday he's going to be loud and boisterous and get teed up. You know, and when he gets teed up, it's when he plays better. I think he can emulate what he did in game two.
Can I ask you a quick question? Because you've
sure.
played the team all year
Absolutely.
Long. Is there a noticeable drop off from Draymond from before the back injury to after the back injury, just in his explosiveness to the rim? Because to me, I watch him, he gets by guys, but then when he goes to finish, it just seems like he can't get up. And is, I don't know if that's age or if it's that back injury that missed 2 months.
You know, I work in physical therapy. You know, I'm a trainer and everything else, and I can almost guarantee that ever since the back injury, he is not 100%. He's maybe 85, you know, at most. I know that when people do get a major back injury, especially if it's a disc injury, man, you know, that thing can sting you every single time you land on the floor. And, you know, they play physical. So when he plays physical, I know that he's going to have to sit in the ice bath for a little while because, you know, that it's rough, you know, when they play physical. And, you know, between him and Williams, just John, you know, they're nullifying each other, by the way. That's why neither of both of them are playing well, because they're just trying to get in each other's head.
Might be a good point, Joe. I'm going to let you go on that. Appreciate the call.
Thank you for the call, Joe.
3,000 miles
it.
Away. Windy, yeah. Out of breath. Sounded like he was going for a jog on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Don't get mugged out there. It's dangerous out there.
Yeah, so you were there for game two.
Yeah.
You didn't like
Kurt Russell, like Escape from L.A. to get out of there.
So even worse, it's gotten worse since that Super Bowl.
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, they just recalled their district attorney because he basically wouldn't, you know, prosecute any like shoplifting or crime. It's bad out there. I'm sorry. It just is. Like the hotel we were staying at, they were closing the front entrance at like 10 and barricading it up, because they were worried about like smash and grabs and people like running in. There was like security all over the place in the hotel. So many boarded up stores, empty stores. The stores I did go into, you know, when I had some time, what they were carrying was so much less than in years past, because they're worried about loss prevention. It's rough out there. People shooting up in the street. There's a really good article from someone who grew up in San Francisco in the Atlantic magazine about San Francisco that I just read, sort of basically saying that it's like they sort of went too far and their progressivism became like really sort of laissez-faire, like sort of like, oh, you know, if people want to do drugs in the street, like that's their prerogative. We're not going to force them to go to rehab. You know, if people want to steal stuff, it's like, well, you know, that's not
a petty crime.
Yeah, it's a petty crime, and it's bad out there. Good luck, B-Rob.
Yeah, see what you get to look forward to. B-Rob will be covering the Celtics in San Francisco for Game 5 Monday.
Wait, make sure you wear your backpack, like both straps at all times. I'm probably exaggerating a little bit, but I love that city, and I've been there probably 10 times in my life, and it was depressing and sad.
Yeah, so that's how, I mean, my last time I was in Seattle, and I'm sure it's gotten worse. Maybe Maz can give us a recap when he's back in the beginning of the week. It had degraded from over like a 5 or 6 year period. And that last time I was in Seattle 5, 6 years ago, I was like, I'm good. I don't care if I ever come back here. So maybe is that how you feel with San Fran now?
I mean, for the food is still great, but it's just, and there's still a great energy, but there's just this element of just sort of,
Danger
and destituteness, if that's even a word, that I don't remember being there like all the time. Like the 2015 Super Bowl was bad because it was too spread out, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was bad because it was like San Francisco was like the attractive person that was basically like, hey, you know how great we are. We don't have to really try to host the Super Bowl. This was different. This was like there was a degradation in the city, and like some of the spirit of the city was gone, and there was an air of danger at like all times that I don't remember being in there in San Francisco. Even though last time when I was there for the Super Bowl. I had my car broken into and stuff stolen. It was like I was only worried about that in certain areas. Like, this was different. This was like you got to be on guard at all times.
Well, and on that positive note, let's get you caught up with the headlines. And just because the Sports Hub Celtics show has ended, it doesn't mean we're going to stop talking Celtics. A lot to unpack from last night's Game 4 loss as the series is now tied 2-2. So we'll continue to take your calls at 617-779-0985 in the final hour of Gasper and Murray right after.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.